you make Russ look bad with your counting. Russ is always like, we're going to do one, two, three. And then Russ is like, blue. Oh, no, Russ. Or he'll flash back to his football days.
Yeah.
And just be like, hike, hike, hike. Like, no, no.
The number of monitors that boy has broken during our show when we do our sinking count and he just throws a football right in, right through the monitor.
He just gets the 1,000-yard stare. We were just boys. We were just
A 1,000-yard. He does the 1,000-yard throw.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
They broke my body first, but they never break my mind.
Slender Warrior.
That's what they called him.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I do know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I know the best compilation of games of the week.
My name is Miles Luna, and sadly, I'm not Russ Frustick.
Oh. No, that's sadly, not sad. Who is sad?
Not sadly in any way, shape, or form.
There's only one. He's incomparable. Don't be sad.
Happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you, Miles. Where might people know you from, Miles? What are your preferred... credits.
I am a writer and director for animation. I do a bit of voice acting. You might know me from Red vs. Blue, Camp Camp, Ruby, fun internet cartoon shenanigans.
All right. And today we're going to be talking about, well, we always here on The Besties talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive intergamement. Mm-hmm. These have come a long way since, spinning up Tony Hawk on your PlayStation 1. this week we're talking about Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
One plus two.
And two.
One plus two.
So three.
Chris, can you give us a quick rundown on what is up with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1+2 Remastered Definitive Edition, colon, dreams, / 362 days?
Sure. So first thing you should know, it is not the previous remaster of Tony Hawk 1 and 2, the very bad one. This is a brand new one. It is made by Vicarious Visions?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the studio that's still around. It is a combination of both Tony Hawk 1 and 2, but with the rule set of Tony Hawk 4. I know.
A real game changer.
It is basically Tony Hawk 1 and 2, but better? Which we will argue about right after this break.
Tried playing it with my frickin' ride board. My Tony Hawk ride controller.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's my first complaint. I was so stoked. I got the Tony Hawk ride skateboard controller out of my garage, mm-hmm. put it down on the floor, and I just started doing it. Gang, it's like falling off a log. I was kick flipping. I was Christ daring. Hard to do a Christ dare from a standstill position, mm-hmm. but I was doing it, and the fucking game just didn't even. It's like it was Greek to it. It didn't even realize that I was doing all these sick tricks. So I give this one a 1 out of 10 stars.
Wow. Miles, let's start with you. Yeah. Talk about, before we get into this new version of Tony Hawk, talk to me about your history with Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Mr. Hawk and his great works.
Mr. Hawk's good games entered my life when I was about like 9 or 10. I was more of a thug kid, if I can be perfectly honest.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's the best one.
It really is. And
I actually like those better, I think. Yeah. Honestly.
It's funny because my girlfriend and I were playing the game together, and when we booted it up, we're having a lot of fun with it. Oh, we can do a little manual, do kickflips. Mr. Hawk himself runs you through a quick tutorial. You're back in it almost immediately. And
he warns you every 15 seconds to please be gentle with his old body.
Please don't make me do the tricks, please.
In the first game, he's like, and if you fall down, no big deal. Get down, don't just shove up. In this game, he's like, if you fall down, I will break 3 of my bones and I have a family. Please don't fall off the board.
Play as one of the new kids. Please, I'm begging you.
Please let them fall. Or let it happen to Bob Burnquist. Just not the Hawk.
It is a bold and fucking righteous choice, I think, to have the cast of characters are the classic skaters. You got your Bob Burnquist, your Tony Hawk, your Bucky Lasik, your everyone.
Not Bam Margera.
Not Bam. Bam, I don't think, is in this one.
Bam had to go.
Bam had to go. But they are their ages now. Like, you are playing as, what, 51-year-old Tony Hawk? And, like, joking aside, I think that's pretty fucking cool.
I think they should call it Come Skate With Your Dad. That's what this game should be called. Come Skate With All Your Dads.
Are you guys that will play as the provided professional skaters, or do you immediately make a custom skater when you play this game?
I immediately make a custom skater.
I was going to, but the menu is very obtuse, and I could not figure out how to do it for quite some time. But eventually, I did make Justin McElroy backpack skater.
Yeah, I'm a Burnquist man. Really? Through and through. Yeah, which I realized I was not a smart child. So I never looked at stats. I was just like, this guy seems like he's good at grinding. What a twist it was to learn 2 decades later that I was using the character not meant for my favorite way of playing the game.
So in a way, it's kind of like you were doing the training with the resistance weight Dragon Ball Z armbands the whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly. I flew to the top of the highest mountain in Colorado, and that's where I did all my Tony Hawk stash.
I'm 39. Plant, how old are you?
Like 35.
Something like that. So I don't know. This sort of hit me. Tony Hawk Pro Skater was like first year of college, like my freshman year of college, and some high school, like right around there. And it was like a huge cultural thing, but definitely always one where, like, I had friends who were skaters. Like I had kids for whom this was their culture, but I always felt like kind of an outsider to the, like, it always seemed like kind of a, beyond the skating and the game part, the aesthetics of it always seemed like kind of a window into a culture that I wasn't necessarily a part of.
It hit me I feel spoiled because meeting this game while you were in junior high is the
That's
real
sweet
perfect
spot.
Storm, right? I mean, I had every Vans Warped Tour cassette tape. I was, NoFX was banging on the system. When I was playing at my Christian friend's house, I got MXPX playing on the system. A little bit of a twist, right? Right?
Yeah.
I got some Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. and, I mean, we played the Nintendo 64 version because we love a good frame rate. And, I mean, we destroyed that cartridge. Outside of GoldenEye, I can't think of a game that we put more time into than that original Tony Hawk 1.
I was alarmed to discover just how much of my fashion as a child was dictated by the professional skaters in Tony Hawk's. I was telling my girlfriend, like, they wear cargo shorts. See, they think it's cool.
it's so weird because I never skateboarded, but, like, I also only wore, like, Vans, and, like, for whatever reason, that left such a huge impression on me. It also I think there's a documentary that is on Hulu or something like that I haven't watched called Pretending I'm a Superman. Ooh. And it's about how, like, the original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, like, actually genuinely revitalized skateboarding as a, like, profession, as a thing that, like, people actually gave a shit about. We've gone on such a, like, wild tangent, but this is,
well, no, I don't actually think it's wild, because what I was struck by with this is, like, how weirdly, like, it's nostalgia, but building it's nostalgia done in a way that makes you feel like you did playing the original game, which I wish we had a better way of communicating.
I don't know if you all have noticed this, but a lot of people on at least my Twitter timeline have picked up skateboarding in kind of the weeks ahead of and after this game coming out. Nicole Carpenter, one of the reporters at Polygon, just picked it up. And I think that the nostalgia is not just for the game. It is for that moment and also that freedom of being young and, like, doing these things. And Griffin, you mentioned, like, how powerful it is that the skaters are just, like, their age.
Yeah.
And something that I really admire about that is skating always felt like a young person's game. And, like, I just imagine, like, once you turn 25, they, like, I don't know, made you get, like, an office job or something. and I don't know, like, the energy of this game is, like, man, it's do whatever you want. Like, it's
Yeah.
You want to like relive that part of junior high culture for yourself? Go ahead, get that sweet boom boom huck skate deck and go break a leg. Like you'll be okay.
I mean, the entire sort of aesthetic of the game is this sort of like, hey, let's rewind. Let's go back. There's this VHS sort of lens that's applied to everything. You know, it opens up with the skate video, just like the original did. They've got the new skaters in there. You've got Superman fires up as soon as you hit the main screen. But like everything, like when you fall, there's not a recover animation. Instead, there's this sort of artifacty digital sort of effect, and a rewind sound plays and you're back on your board. If you hit a loading screen in the park creator, it goes to the blue screen rewind VHS thing. Like the whole idea is like, hey, let's go back. Let's have fun. Let's go to this olden time. Jesus Christ.
1999.
And also like clean it up. Because so I played that the previous Tony Hawk 1-2 remake, and my reaction to that was, oh wait, maybe I hate these games. Like love challenges where I find people suffering from poverty and I do kickflips over them. Like so much of the humor of those games sucks shit. It
sucks so bad.
It's just the worst. And this game is, I mean, really makes an effort to be inclusive and like be friendly without like feeling like it is losing its edge, because I think that that's the thing that so many skate games in the past have worried about, whereas it's like, well, if we're nice, how can we say skate or die if we don't want you to die?
It is helpful, I think, to understand where this game succeeds in like considering where the last remaster, which was what, Tony Pro Skater HD, which was a compilation of 1 and 2 by Robomoto, who, God love them, really drove the whole franchise into the ground. They're the ones who made Ride and Shred. And I'm sure that wasn't, you know, their decision to make a peripheral based Tony Hawk game. But then they also made Pro Skater 5, which was a sin against God in heaven.
Just because it's relevant, we had a question I just want to get to from Jill on Twitter. Said that Griffin McElroy said, don't buy this game at the beginning of his review of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. Did that like actually impact you coming into this game? Were you like, did that leave such a sour taste in your mouth?
Where was that? No. Was that during E3 when we were in New York, Griff? I remember watching you play it for the first time.
We were in New York and when it came out, and it was fucking terrible. It was buggy, but the bigger thing, and it was a problem with Pro Skater HD too, is that it just didn't feel right. And that is like the thing. That's the reason the reason this game succeeded, and the reason that like it became the thing it is and spawned, you know, a couple dozen, you know, sequel iterations, is that it felt great. It like the ability to string together tricks and build these combos and do all these like transfers and, you know, try and combo the whole park, like that was only possible because it felt very good.
Right.
And it only got better. This game incorporates, we mentioned the mechanics of Pro Skater 4. So like you're playing levels from 1 and 2, but in the original Pro Skater, you didn't have revert, which lets you come off a half pipe and then turn that revert into a manual, and then turn that manual into a spine transfer. Like all of these things didn't exist in the original Tony Hawk, and they just feel right this time. And it's one of those things where they made a million little decisions to get that feel correct, but like if they hadn't gotten that feel correct, then everything else doesn't fucking matter. And that was the case in Pro Skater HD, which came out in 2012. So like everything else is just kind of icing on the cake. Like the game looks great. They've added some new goals to the levels in Tony Hawk 1. There's like a great multiplayer mode. There's Create a Park. All that stuff is great. But for me, the headline is it feels like you remember Tony Hawk feeling, which has honestly not been true since like, what, Underground 1 or maybe even Underground 2 came out in the early 2000s. So it's been like 15 years since there's been a Tony Hawk game that like actually felt pretty good. I think that's like pretty incredible.
I will go on record saying that the grind minigame in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is one of the best feeling little game mechanics since like, well, I guess not since, but like I would compare it to like the active reload from Gears of War. It's such a small thing, but it just feels so right every time.
Yeah.
I only like grinding. It's Tony Hawk's Pro Grinder. It's like
and the stuff in between.
It's weird. Yeah, I will say this as a warning for This is not to denigrate the game, but it is to set sort of expectation setting. It's not Thug, and it's not some of these games that later in the series that built more cohesive stories, even stuff like Let You Get Off Your Board, which was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Because I really liked knowing, oh, I'm going to fall.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand. I better get off my skateboard. But it doesn't build that stuff. So for me, there's less of a compelling reason to keep like playing it. But that's just the sort of person, like, I have a skill cap with this game, right? I've never been good at like stringing together like the flips and tricks and stuff like that. I'm good at like, not good, but I prefer to play by like stringing together like grinds and manuals to get finding an interesting path across the world and getting some of the secret collectibles and stuff like that. But like, I'm never going to be great at this. And I think that for me, what kept me playing the other games is sort of like the story stuff and like some of the other sillier things that are not here with this. It's very boiled down and very like, boiled down is not even fair because but it's very focused on the skating.
Right.
If that,
That simplicity from earlier, I think that's through every layer of this game. It is the 3-minute round. You're going to do these challenges. Once you do 6 challenges or however many, you unlock the next stage. And it is very much focused on that sort of loop in a way that I would actually argue, I think this is a great co-op game. Like, the couch gaming experience with this is, I think, really, really great. Like, my girlfriend and I played split screen for a little bit. We did some free skate. She wasn't super interested in competing, but when we went to the, you know, I guess you could call it story mode, it's 3-minute rounds. You just hand that controller back and forth, and it's fun watching someone be like, oh, dude, that was a sit. You landed that. That was amazing. Or when they fall, it's also kind of hilarious. I think I'm kind of with you. I don't really know what the longevity, like, I don't know how much more time I'm going to spend with this game. I'm normally not a person to like look at a price and like equate it, but like, I think the $40 price tag is nice. I think the thing that is, I have a hope for this game. And that hope is when the world opens back up and we can like have house parties again and stuff, this to me actually strikes me like a great background house party game in the same way that like Guitar Hero, Rock Band, or Jackbox has become. Like, the soundtrack for this rules.
Yeah.
You throw this on a TV, it's essentially a splash screen you can have in the background. And just that like that little 3-minute bite-sized delicious Tony Hawk session that you can then hand off to people or watch. Like, that's where I think... That's where I hope this game might get like a breath of fresh air. But I don't know.
I really like, I dug the soundtrack, the new songs. Hearing some of the old songs is, of course, like, takes you back. There's some songs that they added that were not in the original soundtrack that I would have sworn on a stack of, like, I would have sworn that MXPX song was in the initial soundtrack, but it's not. It's added for this. So I don't know where I heard it. I guess church. probably at church. But they added some more rap songs, which is cool. That feels like a little bit more in the spirit of like inclusivity that the game has. Like, it's like trying to be a more encompassing culture, I think.
I mean, the characters too, they added, you know, people of color, they added more women, they added their first non-binary skater. Like, they made an effort.
There is still a magical bum you're supposed to ollie.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure here in the year of our Lord Anno Domini 2020, we're still ollieing magic bums.
No.
I don't even think we call them bums.
No.
And I'm pretty sure we shouldn't ollie them if we do see people who are experiencing homelessness. Not ollieing them is one of the top things they say. So that feels a little weird. But there is something, it was a feeling that was hard to put my finger on of like, simultaneously like experiencing my nostalgia and then thinking about how someone who didn't have that nostalgia would like interact with the game. Like, all of the songs felt very relevant to me but like, I wonder if it had been like, if I was playing a game as a kid and all of a sudden some like in it mixed in with my Counting Crows and Bush, there had been a fucking Chicago track.
Or like, yes, some Doobie Brothers.
Doobie Brothers. Like, what is this? I hope it's not like that, but I worry. It's like, I would be interested to see how younger people are like experiencing these oldies. This one, these classic rock tunes.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this, there are people who play video games now who are probably listeners of this show who were not born when the last good Tony Hawk game came out. Like, that can't be understated. Is that, like, this... I honestly hadn't thought of it that way, but, like, there probably are a lot of people playing this game for the first time. Like, oh, shit, wait, these are good? Like, no, EA isn't carrying the torch anymore with Skate. And there have been a few other sort of, like, skateboarding projects, but, like, nothing nearly with the impact that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater had. And so, like, this is a for a lot of people, for all intents and purposes, like, this is a new genre to them, and that's sort of a wild idea.
I was guessing, what is your most embarrassing Tony Hawk game? Like, the one that you love that you know is, like, maybe not great.
I mean, to Justin's point, I have a deep nostalgic love for Tony Hawk's Underground. And I remember loving the story, loved making your own logo, getting to choose a skate team. I can't imagine the comedy in that game has aged well. I just can't. No. I specifically remember, like, a scene with, like, your manager without a shirt on and someone screaming, like, pencil dick. And I, like, as a kid being like, this is comedy. But I can't imagine that has aged super great.
But the plot of Thug 2
I'm reading the plot
is
now.
Tony Hawk and Bam Margera kidnap you for a secret battle. Like, the plot description of Tony Hawk Underground 2 is six paragraphs long. It's like Bam and Tony kidnap you, and they're going to have the World Destruction Tour, a worldwide publicity-free skating tour where two teams, Team Hawk and Team Bam, compete for points, and the losing team has to pay for all the expenses.
Jesus Christ. This is an incredible wiki. This is the last sentence. Nigel wants Bam to give him the tape of the tour, which shows Phil, Bam Margera's dad, in the toilet, shouting to his wife, April, for more toilet paper. The game ends with Bam and Tony humiliating Beaverhausen once more as Bam pulls down his pants on international TV. That's a good video game.
Yeah, this is like the stuff that I got it, especially hearing skaters do terrible VO in games is like, that's my ASMR. Hearing Bob Burnquist explain why you have to ollie all the clowns, why it's really important to him. They kidnapped the president's daughter. You gotta grind my dad's coffin.
I put like 30 hours into Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam.
Oh,
game, spin-off game based off of the worst level.
The worst level of Tony Hawk. Yeah.
It was bad. Justin, what do we have coming up next?
Oh my gosh, so much plant. We're not done talking about Tony Hawk. We've got some Tony Hawk bar trivia from Mr. Plant himself, some communique from you, our beloved listeners, and some probably some honorable mentions. What? Who knows? Who knows? But let's we'll get into all of that and so much more right after this quick break. So, Plant, I understand you have some trivia for us.
I do have some trivia for you. And I'm going to start out easy, and we're going to work our way into the more difficult questions. Does that sound okay? Hopefully you get like the first
hands
one right.
Away from keyboards?
Oh, yeah. No cheating.
Hear my hands.
No cheating.
Okay.
So we'll start off super easy. We're just warming ourselves up here.
Okay.
In what game in the Tony Hawk series did the 900 first appear?
My wife.
It was in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3, and they had to do it like at the very last minute. They were like, as it was in approvals, they were like still adding it because he hadn't pulled it off yet, and he like actually did it like moments before it was supposed to go to print.
Wow.
I mean,
is that true?
That sounds true.
Wow, that's wild.
But yeah, like, it's wild. He like it was already in. What's the words escaping me? It's when the platform holder is like.
It was in cert.
Cert, yeah, it was in cert, and he does the track, so they have to go back and add it.
But like, okay, but couldn't I turn my board around 3.5 times in one? And you just wouldn't get an. It wouldn't call it a 900. Like you just.
It would be like in this game when you do a 4 impossibles. It says triple impossible plus impossible. Like we've already passed the limits of possibility. You can't give me a quadruple. Come on.
Okay. I'm gonna make it a little more challenging. NeverSoft, the studio that made the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater, rest in peace. They got the job because they were able to complete a supposedly doomed action video game for Activision.
My wife.
Yes.
Jesus.
It's Apocalypse, and the Bruce Willis action.
Well, you answered the question I didn't even get asked, which was, who is the star?
Damn!
Bruce Willis, actually, ironically, interestingly enough, was not supposed to be the lead of that game. Uh-huh. That he was supposed to be your partner, and then everybody realized, like, well, this is stupid. Everybody just wants to play Bruce Willis, but they had already done the VO with him. So they had to cut out all the, like, get the red key cards, and just cut it to, like, I'm enjoying getting key cards.
I like the idea that he's just psyching himself up, like, I gotta get the red key cards.
Gotta do
Come
it.
On, you can do it, Bruce.
Come on, Bruce.
I remember playing that on, like, a OPM demo disc and thinking it wasn't half bad. It wasn't a terrible
game. It was a good game.
Okay, I'm gonna get a little tricky.
It was a nightmare.
In which Tony Hawk game does Shrek appear as an unlockable character?
I'm gonna say Pro Skater 4.
No,
I think it's later than that. Was it Project 8?
Justin, do you have a submission?
My wife.
I'm gonna guess Proving Grounds.
Underground 2.
Damn. Whoa,
Underground
it?
2.
Wow, so it really was
his
a very grind good
game. Special. This is from fandom. Involved earwax as lubricant. And as an alternative to spraying graffiti, Shrek burps onto walls, which then makes his trademark S.
And that's really paying homage to the property. That's a tender love for the IP.
Yeah, that's how. Mm-hmm. Hey, also, weirdly, Jack Black is in this game. Did he record new VO to replace his old VO?
Was he in the original?
Or are they just using the old clips?
They brought him in to, like, get redone.
Wow. Officer that's amazing. Decker, what was the character's name?
Officer I don't think,
I think he's... I think it's Dick.
Yeah.
Oh my god. You guys.
It's a funny. Okay, we're going to get a little trick here. In which Weird Al music video does Tony Hawk appear as an extra?
Oh god.
Oh god. I believe in you.
I mean, I didn't know Shrek, now I'm questioning all of my decisions.
I'm going to give you three more seconds, and I'm just going to...
Smells like Nirvana?
It is Smells Like Nirvana.
Wow, that's nice. Actually it is. So good.
His company helped provide skater extras. And then they're like, hey, you know what? We got to get the Hawk Man, the Boom Boom Hook.
Got to get the Hawk
Man. Got to get him in this game. Here's the most challenging question that you're going to get. In the Korean version of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2... Who appears as exclusive characters?
At characters, so there's more than there's.
Interesting there's more that you noticed one. That. Yes.
Man.
Is it a musical?
It is.
Oh. Aerosmith.
I mean, Tony Hawk.
I don't know.
Ooh, shit! I like that.
Aerosmith is like not bad. That would not surprise me. Seems right.
Is it a Korean musical act?
It is.
Ooh.
Okay. But Tony Hawk, I don't know that I know enough about the Korean music scene back when Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 came out.
I'll let y'all know. It was the four women of K-pop band FinKL. All four got added to Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
They were actually just one character there. They sat on each other's shoulders.
Voltron style, just hopped on a board.
30 people.
Interlock.
That's it. There's some other stuff that I learned that I'll share with you. Do you know that somebody actually did a 1080 off of a vert ramp, like, for the first time during quarantine?
What?
No.
Yeah, holy an 11-year-old shit. Brazilian skater did a 1080 on vert. In like April or May.
Yeah, died tragically because it's just
burst into flames.
He just went straight up to heaven.
Also,
you should get to be the Hawkman, by the way. If you do the 1080, I am the Hawkman.
He comes
now.
Out of the clouds with his wings spread and caresses you and carries you into God's arms.
Welcome to heaven now.
This is my real son.
Sorry, Riley.
Sorry, Riley, this is the true son to the Hawk.
Also, I didn't know somebody had done a 1260 off of a big air ramp.
You're making up
people
numbers.
People just blowing past, Tony. Like, the 900 is nothing. So that's,
well, logic would dictate if you make the big air ramp big enough, you could conceivably achieve any number of rotations. It's just a question of survivability at when you have to then put your body back on the ground. Like, if I vert off of... You know, the top of the Empire State Building.
Sure.
I could probably get a few rotations in there.
Has there ever been a, I want to move on to other stuff, but real quick, has there ever been a athlete that is more iconic in their sport? Like,
are you joking?
For a large swath of the, for a large swath of the population.
Chris?
What do you mean? Michael Jordan?
No. I don't mean, I'm not saying that Michael Jordan isn't a very good basketball player, but there are other people who are
iconic basketball players.
Iconic basketball players. Like, for a lot of people on the planet, skating begins and ends with Tony Hawk. Like, and because of this game, like, he's the only skater.
Well, hold on. For, I think Sean White got on a board once or twice.
Well, but
I know, I'm joking.
True. That's true.
But that's okay. That's, I mean, close. He didn't have the level of popularity, but like Sean White is the only snowboarder than anybody. Like, but
that's not. That's not. I mean, clearly there are lots of incredibly talented skateboarders. But what Justin is saying is like,
there's
so many people for whom Tony Hawk is the only skateboarder gun to their head they could name.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Right. I'm joking.
Yeah.
I think that. But also the game. It's not just that. It's like the game put. I think the game is actually more to blame than he is, right? Like, the game put skating into a lot, like, it opened the door to that entire world and subculture for, like, so many people.
I mean, I know people that skate because of this game.
Yeah. I think if you asked how, like, the average person, you know, for the most famous announcer, people say John Madden just because it's a game title.
Yeah.
Even though he was better known as a coach. In my opinion. Anyway, hey, do we want to do mail?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we hear from people?
Okay. So we've got some questions. This one's from Joe D. If you all invented a skateboarding trick, what would you name it?
I mean, for me, I could probably do a trick called like the 45. Mm-hmm. And it's just I just turn my body, instead of reaching like a 180 or 360, I kind of just like do what I can, which is like a 45 degree rotation. And I know you're probably thinking, doesn't that mean your wheels will no longer be perpendicular when they land on the ground? And the answer is yes. It's a very difficult trick to land.
So it makes it so hard.
That's what makes it so cool to look at and funny.
I thought it was going to be that you would turn 45 and still have the gall to step on a skateboard.
Tony Hawk's 52 and still crushing. Wow. Like, I feel like we said some shit about 52-year-old Tony Hawk earlier in this episode. The videos they released as promo before this game came out, like, the dude fucking tears it the fuck up.
It's amazing.
I'm saying it rules. It's very celebratory. Yeah. I mean, I'm easing into my twilight years. I hope I can still. I don't have any physical activities. Should have picked those up before now, I guess. It would be a pepperoni roll for me. It would be, I grab the, I'm going to play tribute to West Virginia, so it'd be the pepperoni roll.
Oh, cool.
And that's just where I grab the board and roll around with it. It's not a good trick. Anybody can
I'm bringing the granny style to the skate park. It's when you sit on your board, crisscross applesauce, and just sort of maneuver yourself forward on your hands, and then you just let Jesus take the wheel.
The original Christ air. Okay, I got another one. This one's from Nick. Tony Hawk Pro Skater has an iconic soundtrack, but if you could each add any song to it, what would you add?
I mean, to date this episode immediately, WAP, right? Like, that's got to be the one. The kids will love it immediately.
Oh. Interesting. Playing it for the kids. I respect it. Yeah. I respect it.
You know, really, really pandering to that young, shenanigan, rebellious. I don't know if any of these words describe the youth nowadays, actually.
I don't think so. They actually, I think I'll just it's got torpedoed out of the podcast. Justin, what would you add?
I would pick the It's All About the Benjamins rock remix featuring Rob Zombie and Fuzzbubble.
All right.
It's a good track.
I'll
play it real quick.
Oh my gosh. Do not get us sued.
It's okay to do. You could do a little bit of it. Is actually okay. Because it's for what's the word?
Fair
what would you
use?
Call it?
Satire.
Criticism.
Oh yeah. Crunchy. Yeah.
Now that I listen to it, I think that might actually be the version that Weird Al parodies and All About the Pentiums. I'm not positive.
I have the correct answer. I would just take the soundtrack to SSX Tricky and just import all those songs right into it.
Wow.
Leading with and featuring Shake What Your Mama Gave You by the band Skank. Is the name of that, the name of that group. Mm-hmm. It's the name of that group. I did not name them.
Perfect. One last question. This one's from...
Wait, no. Harder Than You Think by Public Enemy. That's what it would be. That's what it would be. That would be
there
so good.
Buzzer beater.
There, got it right in. Sorry, Puffy Dev.
This one's from Jake.
Sorry, Sean.
What secret unlockable character should be added to the game?
Darth Maul.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, sorry, Baby Yoda.
Oh, shut it down, folks. Shut it down.
Baby Yoda in his, like, and he could even be, like, in his floating pod. Like, he doesn't even, yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Iron Man had the hoverboard in one of them.
Marty McFly, I guess, in that case. Or, you know what, Carol Baskin?
Oh, the Tiger King.
Either one of that.
Tiger King. People love that.
Remember the Tiger King times? So long ago.
Remember when we could all just agree on that at least? We didn't like being at home and we loved the Tiger King.
I mean, it's coming back because all the like True TV Discovery Channel Tiger King like ripoffs, that's going to be all fall. Yeah, I hope you're ready.
Jesus Christ.
I'm so very, dumb. Actually very ready if I had multiple lesser quality Tiger Kings to enjoy.
Is anybody playing anything else that we want to talk about? I mean, we can talk, next week we're doing Spelunky 2. Which I think some of us has spent some time playing.
Gotti.
But is there anything else that folks been diving into?
Nothing recent. I'm kind of working through my back catalog. I've been playing Deus Ex Mankind Divided. What a good game. What a very fun game.
Which one? Is that the most
recent? That was the most recent one. It was PS4. I feel like it had almost identical box art to Human Revolution. But no, it's really good. That is a game that I think really takes advantage of its sort of hub world and does some really interesting things with it as the game progresses. I would describe it as a game that feels an inch wide and a mile deep. And I think it surprises you with how often the game is listening to you. You can do some relatively small things early on in the game. And then later you're like, oh, now there's a crime scene there. And oh, this character just called me out of the blue because I helped them. And I've really enjoyed that. And then, although not a video game, hey, disc golf is also a very fun game.
Disc golf is fun.
Disc golf kicks ass. I'm at that phase of quarantine where I've now just dove headfirst into disc golf. And boy, do I recommend it. Great way to go outside. You can social distance. And you get some sick discs that you can just let rip
across
the course. It's
like the most socially distanced sport.
Yeah.
We should do sports and books in this segment. Why can't we do sports and books? It doesn't have to be games. Sports and books.
But it has to be books about games.
I've been playing a bit more Avengers. I capped out. I hit the level cap on my chosen character, who is Black Widow. It's my favorite one.
What's the level cap?
50. Once you hit level 50, basically, you get the last point you need to unlock every skill. So there's very little sort of like build stuff going on. I think my time with the game has probably come to an end because I feel the same way about it that I feel about like early Destiny 2, where it's like, I feel like that game is extremely fun to play and I will pick it back up and, you know, play it here and there. But I do not feel even remotely the kind of drive that I felt with like late Destiny 2 or I guess current Destiny 2 to like really put my time in. Like I don't feel like the hundreds of hours of time investment that they kind of want you to put in the game is even remotely justified at this point. But it, you know, I also feel like it is so fun to play that whenever they drop new shit, I will probably come back to it.
I'm kind of bummed that Spider-Man is exclusive to PlayStation 4. Obviously, I played on the PC. And I think that is dampening my excitement a little bit. Like the idea that that's not going to be...
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a lot of fun.
I've also been playing Hollow Knight again because they're the final piece of DLC for that came out in like late 2018. I didn't play. And God, what a good game. God, yeah. What a very good game.
How far are we from that sequel?
That's a great question. I think it was supposed to be out this year, but okay. I don't know that that is going to happen at this point.
Yeah. A lot of things were supposed to happen this year.
That is true.
Gurflands added perks that you unlock in your runs. So if you've been waiting for the perfect excuse to finally play this year's best game, probably, then now's the perfect time to play Griftlands. get catch it.
We'll talk about it more next week. But if you want to play the year's best game, Spelunky 2 is available now.
Mm.
And it is my goat.
It's on PS4 now, right?
It's on PS4 now, and it will be available on PC at the very end of this month.
Gotcha.
Yes. It's real good. I'll say this. This maybe save some people to purchase. It's real fucking hard. I like to consider myself somebody who is pretty good at Spelunky, and I have not gotten past like the second level by myself yet. It's a tough one.
I have nearly beaten it. And the thing that I will say for people who didn't like the original Spelunky or maybe didn't even try it and they're worried about playing the second one is, I think it really turns your skill in Spelunky 1 against you. You might actually be in a better spot if you have not played a lot of Spelunky 1, because a lot of my dumbest deaths have come with me making some pretty bad assumptions about how the game works.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm going pro. Miles, how can people find you if they were like, I like this flavor, I would like another scoop, please?
If you want, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at the Miles Luna, and yeah, it's so pretentious. That's pretty much it. That's like, I hang out, I lurk on there sometimes.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is a lot of fun. And I wish you were here. If you want to take my place to talk about Spelunky,
it's great being here. Thank you.
You can, as I said, Spelunky 2 next week, so try to put some time into that if you want to join in on that conversation. And follow and listen for free on Spotify, which I assume you're already doing, but if you're not, if you're getting pirated bootleg tapes in the spirit of Tony Hawk, please just get it on Spotify. And tell a friend. Let them know that, you know, they don't need Spotify Premium or anything. They just go on the app and they listen to it. It's great. And we really... You know, it'd just be really nice. Besties.fan is the link to share with people. You can also get in touch with us, mail at besties.fan. We're on Twitter at the Besties Pod, where there's also a link to our mailing list if you'd like to join up with that. I think that's everything, right? Yes.
Yes. Good. Yes? Take us home.
Good. Take us home. Here we go. Be sure to join us again next week for the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
It's a Spotify original podcast in association with Fox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter and produced by Ben Hosley. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!